And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall, joined in our studio by Jay Wynn Russick, our theater critic. Good to see you, Judy.
Always good to be here, Tom.
So we're going to talk about Hamilton, a little show that has rolled into the Hippodrome Theater. It's there until the 21st of this month. Linnell and I saw it for the first time this week. It's an amazing show. The phenomenon that is Hamilton, I think, is well deserved. I mean, it's achieved this iconic status.
I agree with you.
And it's amazing. So I know you've seen this show now several times, which makes you the envy of many of our listeners. But for you, I mean, has the novelty of it worn off? I mean, it was such a different kinds of show, you know, when it first happened in New York. To you, does it still seem fresh?
Oh, it definitely still seems fresh. Absolutely. One benchmark of great art for me is something that expands an existing form and takes it in a new direction. And in this case, that form is the Broadway musical. Hamilton starts with very familiar subject matter, the founding of this country, and it tells it in a very unfamiliar way, primarily through rap and hip-hop and multicultural casting. Tom, as you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda, who wrote the script and the score, was inspired by Ron Chernow's massive biography of Alexander Hamilton, but he has completely transformed it. Hamilton and George Washington and Aaron Burr don't look the way they did in the 18th century. That is, they're not played by white actors. They look the way America looks in the 21st century, multi-ethnic, multiracial, and they sound and they move like 21st century trendsetters. The show's director, Thomas Kail, has said, "This is a story about America then, told by America now." And he directs it with this urgency that just hasn't flagged. You feel it in the air as soon as you enter the Hippodrome. You feel it in the lobby. And then the audience cheers the first appearance of Hamilton, even though he's being played by an actor, Edred Utomi, who's excellent, but I'm sure an actor most of the people in the audience have never heard of. Let's listen to part of the opening number. This is the Broadway cast.
Alexander Hamilton.
That's the Broadway cast album of Hamilton. So interesting to me, Judy, that Lin-Manuel Miranda, who, as you mentioned, wrote the lyrics and the book and the score, makes Aaron Burr the narrator. Now, I read Chernow's biography. It's one of the best biographies of any historical figure I've ever read. But why do you think Lin-Manuel Miranda chose Burr as the storyteller here?
Well, I've thought about that a lot, and I think he did it perhaps because he uses the contrast between Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton to establish Hamilton's personality. And also, of course, the duel in which Burr killed Hamilton. I'm not giving anything away here. Maybe the main thing that people know about these two guys. And the duel is kind of our way into the show. Burr tells about it in the opening number, and then we see what led up to it. And the differences between these two men show up the very first time they meet. Hamilton is impulsive. He's enthusiastic. He has so much to say, he cannot talk fast enough, and so he raps. Burr says to him, "Talk less, smile more. Don't let them know what you're against or what you're for." And Hamilton replies, "You can't be serious." We also see some similarities between these two, though. They're both orphans. They both become lawyers. Both are first-time parents around the same time. There's a little artistic license there, but it's the source of one of the gentle songs in the show, Dear Theodosia. This score is not all rap. But the approach to life by these two men and to politics is diametrically opposed. Hamilton has a skill that more politicians need to nurture today, the ability to compromise, to work with the opposition, in Hamilton's case, for example, with Jefferson and Madison. Burr repeatedly finds himself being left out, so he's an observer, and an observer makes a good narrator. This comes to a head in the great second act number, The Room Where It Happens, and it's emblematic of the enormous success of this show that title has become a catchphrase. Let's listen to a bit of that song again by the Broadway cast.
No one else was in the room where it happened. Trust, but we never really know what got discussed. Click, boom, and it happened.
one else was in the room where it happened.
Alexander Hamilton.
That's the Broadway cast album of Hamilton. That's the room where it happened. So, Judy, you saw Hamilton on Broadway and again in D.C. How does this cast at the Hippodrome stack up?
Very, very well. The two leads are excellent. I'll start with Aaron Burr. He's played by an actor named Josh Tower. I've seen Burr played as a little more likable. I've also seen him played harsher. Josh Tower is pretty severe as Burr, but not constantly. He lets us see Burr's frustration. We really feel it in that song we just heard. And he also has a song in the first act called Wait For It, where we see him really struggling with his own patience. His voice gets louder as waiting gets harder for him. Edred Utomi, I mentioned, is very powerful as Hamilton. He's a youthful-looking Hamilton. But Hamilton's passion and his intensity, all those things come through. And when Hamilton makes mistakes, and he makes some pretty big mistakes in the second act, Utomi's performance really makes you ache for him. There's another show-stopping performance, a much smaller performance, Peter Matthew Smith as Britain's King George III. It's played as comic relief. This is an actor.
Yeah, he always gets a laugh.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
He was in the original cast of Hairspray. I saw him in D.C. as well. I think he's better than the King George was on Broadway. He can sort of sing and smile and snarl at the same time. And I also want to mention Hannah Cruz, who plays Hamilton's wife, Eliza. She lets us see this character grow, and she does an especially good job with a heartbreaking song Eliza has called Burn. It starts very softly, and then we see her heartbreak turn into real rage.
Talk about the design of the show. I was impressed with the set. It's really something. But a lot of the elephants don't by any means have a period look, although some of the costumes do.
Right, right. But again, Tom, this is history seen through a modern lens. So yes, the costumes have a period feel, but the hairstyles are brand new. I mean, Eliza's hair is punk. The set is by David Korins, and it's mostly scaffolding and ropes and movable staircases and brick walls. There are two concentric turntables. And when Eliza and her sisters sing, look around, and then in the greatest city of the world, those turntables are moving in opposite directions. It's like this panoply of wonder. I also want to say something about Andy Blankenbuehler's choreography, because the show has almost nonstop movement.
And it's terrific, the movement, it's hip-hop, and it's
fast, and it's a propulsive feel, and that's what Hamilton's life comes across as.
Yeah, I think the choreography is one of the strongest elements of this production.
Absolutely.
It's terrific. So it's there at the Hamilton or at the Hippodrome, Hamilton at the Hippodrome, for 2.5 more weeks. Is it still possible to get tickets? What do you know about availability?
Well, I spoke to Ron Legler, the president of the Hippodrome, this morning, and some tickets are still available for all performances. The best options, he said, are later in the run, but availability is constantly changing. He suggests keeping up, checking with Ticketmaster. I checked this morning. I found tickets for the next few weeks in the roughly in the range of $250 to $325, and of course there are some that are higher. I want to also remind everyone of the digital lottery. 40 tickets per performance,
yeah.
$10 a ticket.
There are $10 tickets available for every show.
And
so,
before we go,
gotta be in a lottery.
Just want to add one quick thing. This is the American musical reclaimed and reinvented. It celebrates diversity, ingenuity, contributions by immigrants, the necessity of compromise. It celebrates this country and the principles it was founded on. There's no performance tomorrow, but how lucky are we to have Hamilton in town
for
around the time of America's birthday?
All right.
Absolutely.
It's at the Hippodrome until the 21st of July. We've got information about the lottery and how to get regular tickets at WIPR.org/midday. So, Judy, next week, Rob Sivak's going to be sitting in for me, and you're going to talk about Raoul Dahl's Matilda, the musical at the Olney Theater Center. So we look forward to that.
Yes, quite a change.
All right, happy holiday. Coming up tomorrow, it's a rebroadcast of my conversation with the political economist William Davies. His latest book is called Nervous States, Democracy and the Decline of Reason. That's coming up on our 4th of July edition of Midday. And on Friday, we're going to talk to two guys about their memoirs, John Urschel, he's a math whiz who played for the Baltimore Ravens, and Jim Cabezas, who's a former investigator. So that's coming up on Friday. Lunch today was provided by Dangerously Delicious Pies. They've got locations at 2839 O'Donnell Street on the square in Canton and at 810 West 36th Street in Hamden. Their menu includes a large variety of homemade sweet and savory pies and quiches. You can find more information about them on the web at DangerousPiesBalt.com. Appreciate your being with us. I'm Tom Hall. Stick around.